My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth and beyond. Remember, as a podcast listener, you can get 15% off all my online courses at midwifepip.com using the code podcast15. Now, in the epidemic of birth fear from unhelpful, dramatized media stories, hearing and reading positive birth experiences can be super helpful in your birth preparation. And this week, I'm very excited to welcome Felicity Racina back on the podcast after we heard some of her experience in pregnancy on episode 89. And she's kindly agreed to share her positive birth experience with us. I have got my tissues at the ready. So welcome and thank you. Thank you for coming back on.
Hello, thanks for having me back. I'm excited to share my little story.
With a plus one who is looking very cute this morning.
He's got so much hair, hasn't he?
He has got so much hair. Proper little blondie as well.
He's got a little mullet.
We like a hairy baby. A hairy baby's good.
Exactly.
Oh, well, welcome and thank you for coming on to share your experience, which from the summary that you have shared with me sounds blooming beautiful. It sounds like you absolutely bossed your birth.
Honestly, I had such a good time. I know it sounds weird to say I had a good time pushing a head out of my vagina, but like I'd do it again tomorrow. Like it really wasn't as bad as I was expecting. And I do feel very lucky that I got pretty much the birth that I wanted and said I wanted the whole time without really much planning. But to be honest, it happened so quickly. I don't think my brain really assessed what was happening until like he was in my arms and I was like, oh my God.
I just did it. I did this.
So I'll try and explain like the short version of the story. So my due date was the 24th. So I had a sweep with my midwife on the 24th. And when I was there, she was like, your cervix is flat, but it's not open. I don't know if you want to explain what that means to people that might not know.
Yeah, so that's a really good point because often if women hear their cervix is closed or it isn't open, they're like, oh, it's not going to happen, is it? Because my cervix hasn't even opened yet. But what we forget is that your cervix has to do lots and lots of work before it even opens, especially with your first baby. So it starts off a bit like a tube of sweets, like it's a really long, thick tube that's quite far back. And what it has to do is move forward, shorten and thin out, and then open. So essentially it sounds like your cervix had done all of that stuff and all it had left to do was the opening bit. And often we forget that amazing work that your body does before that point. So the fact that your cervix was already at that stage, although it might not have been open, actually your body was doing some really awesome stuff in preparation.
Yeah, so that was on the Monday and on the Friday, labor, I was like, something's happening, I don't know what's going on, but like there's something happening. And so both of us were just like, right, we'll just go to bed and see what happens in the morning. Woke up in the morning, I was like, well, okay, that was rubbish because I feel absolutely fine. What do you want? And so anyway, I had this sweep and the midwife said to me,
it's all about him, he's very welcome to join in.
He just likes chirping. She was like, I'll probably see you again in like 24 to 48 hours. And I kind of hadn't really assessed what was going on because her fingers were still inside me. And I was like, this is a very odd experience. And I had a student midwife in there as well. So because she was in there, they were both having a discussion between themselves. And I was like, all right, okay, I'll just be here. No worries. And anyway, so after we did that, we went home, had dinner. And then I we were watching telly and I stood up and there was like a popping sensation and I was like, what was that? But then I didn't really feel anything, so I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought I wet myself and I was like, well, okay, this is a slippery slope here, isn't it, if you're gonna wet yourself at 28. Yes. Anyway, so then we... then we got into bed and I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I was like, okay, there's definitely something going on here, but I don't want to get my hopes up in case it was just like last time. So I was like, okay, it's fine, whatever. Would you like to talk to everyone?
Hiya. We'd like to talk to you. You're very cute. We're hearing all about your entrance into the world, little man.
I'm hungry, isn't it? Okay. He's so distracting, isn't he? Christ.
It's because he's cute.
So this was at 3 a.m. and I went to the toilet and I was like, okay, I've been for a wee, but there's definitely more coming out. But again, it wasn't enough to like be alarmed. So I put a pad in because that's what the midwife told me to do. She was like, if anything ever happens, just put a pad in because then when you come in, we can check. So I was like, right, okay. So at this point, I didn't want to wake Chris up because I was like, if something is happening, I'd rather he'd had a whole night's sleep than be a bit more alert the next day. So I just kind of just ignored it, went back to bed, woke up at like 6:15 and woke up and I was like, okay, there's definitely something happening now. I was like, this is more than just a period pain. This is something's going on. So I woke Chris up and I was like, I don't want to alarm you, but I think I'm in labor. He's like, what? So I'd been timing my contractions and they weren't, there was a pattern, but it was quite far apart. So he was like, right, let's just ring the midwife and see what she says. So then we went in. This was about 8:30 by the time we got there, probably, because I don't know why, but I thought, I'll wash my hair. Like, is this as good time as ever to just wash and air out my hair?
I mean, you are known for having beautiful hair, so I feel like it's appropriate that you had beautiful hair in labour.
Yeah, but you know when you're like, what? Why did I think getting in the shower at that point to air out my hair was appropriate when quite clearly Chris was standing in the bathroom with me because I kept having them in the shower? So we got in, the midwife was like, oh, you look great. And I was like, thanks. In my head, I don't know what's going on. So then she had a look and she was like, you're only 2 centimetres, but I can see your waters have pooled. Again, don't really know what that means. But she was like, so I'll send you home. And when the contractions get closer together, you can come back in. So I was like, right, okay. We got home at maybe 11, I think that must have been. And between 11 and 1:30, they'd gone from being like 5-10 minutes apart to being to being 3 minutes apart and like a minute 30 each. But because it had been happening so quickly, I'd been upstairs and I'd been timing them, but I hadn't really been looking what was going on. So it wasn't until Chris had come in and looked at my phone and he was like, we need to go. I was like, no we don't, it'll be fine, we've got ages. Oh, we've got a full nappy. That's what the noise is for.
Oh, here you go, nice. Mummy.
On my hand. Thank you. So then he was like, we need to go. And I was like, we need to ring the midwife first. So we rung and he was explained and she was like, oh, yeah, come back in. So we went back in about 3 o'clock at this point. She was like, oh, well, you're still only 3 centimetres. So you can either wait here or you can go home. And I was like, right, okay. And all I was thinking was, I can't do that car journey again because the hospital is like a 30-minute drive from our house. And I had the TENS machine on at this point, but even the TENS machine wasn't distracting me enough when we were going over all the speed bumps that London has. So we're going and we got to the car park, and the car park there is really, really busy. So I said to Chris, park the car. I need to get out before you reverse in, or I won't be able to fit out, but don't walk across the car park. Quite quickly and not realise he left me behind because I was having a contraction in the middle of the car park. I was like, please stop.
Wait for me.
Come back. So when we got to the hospital, the lift was absolutely rammed. Like the lift was the worst part of the whole experience for me. I literally had my head on his chest and I was like, trying.
All these people around you.
Anyway, so we get back in. Yeah, she's like, you're only 3 centimetres, but you can stay, blah, blah. So I was like, right, okay, no worries. So I then... She then said, you can either go home or you can stay for 4 hours and we'll reassess you over the 4 hours. And if you don't get anywhere in 4 hours, we'll have to send you home. And I was like, okay, I don't want to get back in the car, so please can I stay for 4 hours? And she was like, yeah, that's fine. Within the next hour, I had been violently sick to the point where I'd wet myself / my waters had broken more and it gone all up the wall. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, something's happened, I don't know what's going on. But no one really told me I was going to be sick in labor. I was just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But after that had happened, it got really, really quick. So I don't know if the force of the vomit had just like pushed everything along a bit. And yes, yeah, so this was a, I don't really remember the time, but Chris was like, you went from standing, because I was trying to walk around to try and lessen the impact of the contraction, but it got to the point where I could do like two steps and then another one was happening. So I was like leaning against the windowsill, and then I went from the windowsill to the floor and was then just like on all fours, like a cow with my head pressed against the bed. And Chris said it was like I was glitching. So I could have a conversation, then a contraction would happen, and then I'd go back to the same conversation I was having before without noticing what was happening in between. And then we went from there, and I didn't really realize the transition in the different stages of labor would be as obvious as it was. So we got to the bit where I then all of a sudden needed to push, and I was like, oh my God, what's happening? So I said to Chris, please, can you go get the midwife and tell them I need to push? And at the same time that had happened, a bit more of my water had gone, but I thought I'd pooed everywhere. So at this point, I was trying to communicate to Chris that I think that I had poo all over me.
Oh, the
midwife. So we had a student midwife, and because they were like, are you okay with having a student? I was like, yep, I'd prefer people to learn than to not be embarrassed. And I was like, whatever at this point, like, it's fine. And she comes in, she was lovely, and she was like, can I take your trousers off to have a look? And I was like, I'm really sorry, I think I've done something in my trousers.
Oh, bless you. I've heard that so many times, honestly.
But she was like, no, I think you're good. So she took my trousers off, and she was like, right, okay, we need to fill the bath. And I was like, what? I was like, this is only just happening. Like, why are you filling the bath? So then the other midwife came in, and she was like, oh, yeah, okay, we need to hurry this along. I was like, okay. But because we had a student as well, they, when they were talking to each other, I actually find it quite useful, because I could listen to what they were saying rather than it just be silent.
You almost got more explanation, I suppose, as to what they're thinking.
So even in the middle of a contraction, I could kind of listen to what was going on rather than just feeling like no one was talking to me. And at this point, Chris was like kind of useless, because he's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I didn't want him to touch me. I didn't want him to talk. So I was like, just sit there on your phone. Like, I don't care. Just be quiet at this point. So we got into the bath. This was at like 7:15. We got into the bath, and he was born at 7:40, but like the actual gap between getting in the bath and him being born was so quick. It wasn't until she was like, okay, you need to push now. And I was like, what?
He's coming.
I was like, ah. But my whole actual active labor was only 1 hour and 38 minutes. So from me being on the floor to me getting in the bath and him being born was very, very quick. But the midwife was like, yeah, this happens. This tends to happen to people that are just into fitness. And I was like, what?
Sorry. So there's a reason to get into fitness, that's it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And she was like, are you okay? You just seem really relaxed. And I was like, I don't think my brain really knew what was happening, because I kept saying no to pain relief, because I was like, I don't want to say yes to it if it gets worse.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have used all the tools in one go. So she gave me the gas and air, and I was like, that's kind of distracting from my breathing, because felt like I was concentrating more on picking it up and putting it in my mouth and just breathing in and out.
Interesting. Yeah.
And she was like, you can put the gas and air in your mouth. And I was like, I can't. It's distracting. She was like, do you want anything else? I was like, no, it's obviously not that bad. But afterwards, I was like, actually, it was painful, but because of the gaps in between, I've got quite a strong pain threshold anyway, so I'm not really one to go on for levels of pain. But yeah, and then afterwards, so obviously he was born, and then I held him for a bit. We did the delayed cord clamping, then they were like, it's time to get out of the bath. But my legs were completely numb. Like, I'd been on all fours
for so long.
And the student was looking at me, and I was like, I'm really sorry, but you're gonna have to help me. So we got out of the bath, and they did the placenta, which was a bit of a weird experience, because no one really tells you about that part, do they? And and then he was just doing skin to skin with Chris while they were sorting out the placenta and all the other stuff. But afterwards, the midwife was like, how did you find your experience? And I was like, honestly, it's nowhere near as bad as I was expecting to start, but also because I think I went in with such an open mindset of, okay, whatever happens is going to happen. At some point in the next couple of days, I'm going to have my baby. So however he arrives, I hope it goes well. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I think as soon as I got in the water, the amount of pressure that was like relieved off my hips for anything was nuts. So yeah, I think that's the whole story pretty much in one. But it was just a very quick experience.
A very quick positive experience. And I want to just go back to what you mentioned about pain thresholds, because I know for some women, they are really anxious in pregnancy because they feel, or they've decided or judged themselves that they haven't got a what we call a strong pain threshold. But actually, I think that you don't really know. Like, you don't really know. We might have perceived a life event that we feel is painful, but actually to somebody else that is or that isn't. And there are so many factors. Yeah. You in agreement with me there? I think he's in agreement with me. There are so many factors that actually influence how pain is perceived in labour. So if someone is listening and thinking, oh my goodness, I haven't got a good pain threshold, you just don't know. I've met so many women that felt like they needed to have an epidural as soon as they had a contraction because they felt they didn't have a good pain threshold. And then actually when they went into labour, like you, they then absolutely bossed it. Because you just don't know until you're there how you're going to find it, how you're going to react, how you're going to respond, how long it's going to be. Like, there's so many different factors that can kind of influence it.
I also think as soon as he was out and I held him, I'd forgotten about any of the pain. Like, even now, I'm trying to explain it to people and I'm like, I don't really remember. Like, it was painful, but it was worth it. Like, it's not like when you have like a toothache or, I don't know, you've broken your arm, like, it just hurts, whereas that's like there's no reward for it if you break your arm other than a broken bone.
It's but
when,
a bit bad.
When you get to hold your baby and you're just looking at them like, wow, I grew you, like, I think that was the point where I was like, okay, that was worth it.
Yeah,
like at no point was I like, oh, okay, why did I just do that? Like, what was the point in that day? That was a bit long, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it comes back to something I talk about in my courses, which is that physiological or that pathological pain. So like you said, when you break your arm, that's pathological pain. So it's fearful and painful and we're scared of it because something's gone wrong in our body. But birth isn't that, it's physiological. So we don't need to be fearful of it. The more we can accept it and relax into it, the more we get those natural endorphins, which are our body's natural painkillers. And actually we can have a more comfortable, calm, shorter and hopefully more positive experience by just reframing our brain. And that's why sharing positive births is so important, because there are some horror stories out there, a bit like negative restaurant reviews, you know, everyone's so quick to leave a bad one, but we don't always celebrate the good ones, which is such an important 100%. Part of our preparation, I think.
And I also think when it was happening and the midwife was like, do you, like, I only basically wrote like top five birth preferences, I didn't have like a massive birth plan. She was like, do you want this, this and this? And I was like, honestly, I feel like my body knows exactly what it's doing right now, so if I need help, I'll ask you. And she was like, oh, okay. But because I went in there and I'd kind of listened to every variety of birth story you can have at this point, I was like, I want the bad ones, I want the good ones, like, I would like to just know kind of what's happening. And I have such a big community of clients who had all told me their ones as well, that I was like, okay, well, I'm kind of prepared for anything at this point, but let's just go with it and see what happens. And because I kind of went in with the attitude of it will be fine, like, whatever happens, you're being looked after and really you're in the best place for it. Like, you're in the hospital, if you need something desperately, there's doctors everywhere. Do you know what I mean? I think people that are fearful of giving birth, maybe because they've had a traumatic experience in the past or they've heard so many bad stories, like, for every bad story there's going to be a good one as well. So there's no need to worry about it, because you also, it's coming out either way. Like, if you have
a guarantee
birth for a C-section, it's coming out. It's not like you're just gonna end up just pregnant forever, which so he was actually born the day after his due date, so I didn't actually have to wait around for that long. But I can imagine if people get to like 41 and a half weeks, they're like, oh, I'm gonna, they're so panic. It'll be over soon.
But I remember speaking to you because your family has a history of going into birth at like 36-ish weeks, wasn't it, I think. So actually for you, you were sort of anticipating a baby around 37 weeks. Yeah. So you're a bit like, you kind of felt a little bit of that kind of prolonged pregnancy, even though textbook wise it wasn't. Actually for you and your expectation, it kind of was a little bit, I suppose. If you are anything like me, the juggle between having a little one and trying to have a home that still looks nice is a toughie, which is why I am super excited to share Ruggable, the gorgeous range of rugs in a huge variety of styles and sizes that fit in your home washing machine. Game changing, right? They are a two-part system with a removable, 100% machine washable, non-slip, water and stain resistant cover. so our little people can explore and run wild in our homes whilst restoring some style too. Use code MIDWIFEPIP10 for 10% off your Ruggable rug at ruggable.co.uk.
I think I was just getting frustrated of people asking me. I think that was what was the most annoying thing, of like friends were messaging, go, any sign of the baby? And I'm like, no. And you asking me is not making me feel any better.
No, but really hard that, isn't it?
And as soon as it happened, because it happened so quickly, no, I didn't even have time to look at my phone. And I think that's when people started clocking on something had happened, because I'd not replied to anyone.
Yeah.
But I think next time I'll definitely lie about my due date to people, or just tell them the month rather than the day. Because I think that added to the pressure at the later stages of it being like, is it today? I'm like, I don't know. But then I also think the whole way through, I was like, how will I know when I go into labor? Like, will I just know? I definitely just knew. Like, when I stood up and I heard that pop, my brain was like, okay,
we're doing
time
this.
To go now. Yeah.
Yeah, just know, don't you? And I think often we are almost on the back foot with our own bodies, and that we assume that we're not going to know and we're not going to understand and we're going to need help with that, and someone's going to need to tell us this is labor or this isn't. But like you say, we're pretty damn clever. Your body knows. When that moment's there, it definitely knows. And I like you, actually, Felicity. So our labor was fairly speedy. So there was no kind of telling people we were in labor. And I'm really pleased we didn't tell anybody that we were in labor. And I'm so pleased we didn't, because for me, my worst nightmare would be feeling like this extra pressure that I needed to update people because they were at home worrying, and, you know, it's been this many hours. But in labor, hours don't sort of add up, do they? For what might have been 2 hours to bystanders, for you feels like 30 seconds. It's a very strange kind of time when it comes to times, actually, in labor, when you're the woman in it yourself.
Even when we went in, so we saw the same midwife when we went in the morning when she first checked when we went back. Chris said to her, what kind of shifts do you guys work? Just having a chit chat. She was like, oh, well, today I'm doing 8 to 8. And I was like, oh, okay. And as we left, she was like, oh, I might see you later, I might not. And when he was born at 20 to 8, the first thing I turned around was like, at least I got him in before the end of your shift. He was like, I don't think I've ever had a baby born this quickly over my shift when the woman's come in and she's only been 2 centimeters in the morning. But it just shows like how I didn't realize how quick the time. I knew it was getting dark because the blinds were open, but I hadn't really assessed how kind of long but short we'd been there. Like even at home, when we'd been at home like 2 and a bit hours, I was just on the bed. Like I didn't really know what was happening, or what, like if it was lunchtime, if it was what's going on. Yeah. And it wasn't until Chris was like, we need to go, let me just eat something. I was like, what? It's breakfast time. What are you doing?
It's funny, isn't it? It's so strange. It's a little bit of an out-of-body experience, I suppose, in that way, isn't it? It's so magical. But I want to ask you, how do you think, having had a positive birth, do you think that had an impact on how you then found that fourth trimester and that entrance into motherhood?
Yeah, 100%. And I think there's loads of bits about the fourth trimester that I wish people had told me that then I maybe wouldn't have panicked over.
Yeah.
For example, the wetting myself. Like the amount of people then I then spoke to and were like, oh yeah, that happened to me for a few days. Because the first day we got home, I was like, why have I just weed all over the floor? Like, what's going on? But because there were so many things like that I didn't know, but I kind of was like, okay, well, my insides are fine. Like everything's all good in there. I could kind of take that on the chin a bit more than maybe if I'd had a bit more of a traumatic experience, I might be a bit more worried about that kind of thing. And then when the midwife came around on, was it day two? Yeah, day two and day five. The one that came around on day two was like, you just seem really relaxed. And I was like, I think it's because I had one night in hospital, then we came home, and that first night at home wasn't as scary because I actually felt okay in myself. And I felt like I was kind of like, okay, well, if I can do that, like I can deal with a few days no sleep, like it'll be fine. And I mean, 2 weeks down the line, I'm definitely not doing okay with no sleep. But I think because my recovery has been quite straightforward because of the straightforward birth, I haven't had other things to worry about. Because I think maybe if you'd gone in, you'd have to have an emergency C-section, you then have to have kind of a different aftercare. Whereas mine was just like, it's going to sting when you wee for a few days.
Yeah, absolutely. And even I think just that mindset of not feeling distracted, perhaps that's the wrong choice of word, but that kind of birth trauma in the background, if you've had a traumatic experience, and for some women that might be a vaginal birth, but it was just really traumatic, having to deal with that alongside the sleep deprivation, you know, the leaking boobs, the bleeding vagina, all that stuff as well, can just feel a lot, which is why I think it's really important we sort of have all those pieces of the jigsaw, if you like, prior to birth to make sure that whatever the birth looks like, you come out of it with a positive mindset, and we really try and mitigate that birth trauma because you are in such a vulnerable state when you've just had a baby. So controlling the controllables to try and set you up for the strongest and most positive experience through that early first fourth trimester is so important for mums.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we were kind of, we'd prepared for when we were getting home, as in like, I changed the bedding while I was having contractions. Like, what was I doing?
Was it before or after you did your hair?
After. So this is when we come home in the gap. I was like, I'll just change the bedding. But like, we had loads of food in the freezer prepared. The fridge was full. And we kind of kept the fridge full, not knowing when I was going to give birth. But like, we were still doing like a weekly shop, so there was always going to be food there. The freezer was full. We had clean towels. I had clean clothes. Like, I'd kind of prepared enough that I wasn't coming home to things that I was going to have to be like, okay, what are we going to eat?
Yeah.
Or what are we going to do this? So I think that in a sense, I was quite well prepared for kind of knowing that it was going to be a bit of a shit show for a few days.
Yeah. And it's lowering your expectations, isn't it? Like, actually, we're going to eat and try and sleep and get to know this small human, and everything else is going to wait, and that's okay.
And what I thought was nuts is that they just like, they watch you put a baby in a car seat and then they're like, bye.
Yeah.
Here's a sheet of paper. Good luck. I was like, is this the instructions or
what qualifies me to be a mother? Because
what's this? But then when the midwife came around, she was actually really reassuring because I was like, I just don't. Sometimes he cries and I just don't know what he wants. She was like, he will eventually. And then I think probably about 6 or 7 days in, I was like, right, okay, that's a hungry cry. That's a trap wind cry. And then I think you kind of get used to it. But if you'd have had a bit more of a traumatic experience, where I think as well because mine was so quick, I didn't have a night without sleep. Like, I labored during the day.
Yeah.
So because I didn't have that gap of sleep, I mean, I didn't really sleep much that first night because I was just staring at him like, I can't believe I just gave birth to you.
Yeah.
But because I didn't have that long labor of being tired as well, I feel like I came home in quite a good position.
You went into it as strong as possible considering you'd given birth.
Yeah, and I'd had a night, well, half a night of sleep beforehand as well. So it wasn't like I was pre-tired, which I definitely think helped. But I also just think coming home and being like, right, okay, so I'm not going to be able to get out of bed at 6 a.m. like I did before. I'm not going to be able to go out for a walk every day. We actually went for a walk on day two and we got like 10 minutes out and I was like, I need to go home.
Did you feel like your bum was going to fall out? I remember feeling like my bum was going to fall out.
I just couldn't stop wetting myself. That was the problem. I was like, you. I'm walking around in a nappy just thinking this is embarrassing if it goes through my leggings at this point.
Yeah.
But like, I think I just needed to go outside and be in the air. So after we'd done that the next day, I was like, right, let's try and get to 20 minutes. And it was more of a like, we can build this up because I know I can do it and I know I'll feel better for it. But just trying to come to terms with, okay, I'm not going to be able to wash my hair as much. I might not look as nice anymore. But as long as I've got clean knickers on at this point and I've brushed my teeth, like, we're having a good day. I didn't realize how long it takes to get out of the house with the baby, but even the pre-planning and stuff like that, like if we've been out and I've used a nappy from the changing bag, as soon as we get back, I'll go and put a nappy in the bag. So then the next time we go out, I don't have to think about it. So I'm just trying to be like as pre-organized as you can for trying to get out of the house with a baby.
Yeah. And then those curveballs that they throw you, you can be like, well, that was out of my control, but we'll deal with it now. Everything else at least is ready.
Every time you need to leave and he's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, oh, of course you are.
They are always hungry. That's like a default, isn't it? Hunger. Definitely, definitely hungry. That's brilliant to hear. And I am obviously absolutely delighted that you had such a wonderful, wonderful, empowering experience. Would you share for us, Felicity, your three top tips to expectant mums listening that perhaps are thinking, I'm absolutely terrified of this next step, this birth, this early motherhood. What would be your three top tips of wisdom or encouragement for them?
Okay, number one, however much your baby keeps you awake at night, as soon as you look at their face, you're like, okay, it was worth it. Like, for example, last night we had a horrendous night of just crying for absolutely no reason. There was nothing wrong with him. He just wanted to be on me, which is fine. He's a baby. He wanted to cuddle. And I was getting annoyed because I was like, I'm so tired. And then he just kind of opened one eye and looked at me and I was like, oh, but I love you.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
It's all forgiven.
Like,
it's all forgiven.
Don't worry. Mummy will have another. You you look at your baby, it will be worth it. Same as when you've done in labor, like you're gonna hold your baby and you'll be like, wow, okay, that was an experience. Number two is don't overpack your hospital bag, because the midwives will not forgive you if you have loads and loads of crap that you don't need. And like we labeled all of the bags, so when the midwife was looking through the bag, I was like, oh, it's in that one there with that, and then she kind of knew what was there. Because I think some people panic and just take like suitcases and those other stuff. I basically had a backpack and that was it. And if you do need anything, like you're in a hospital, they will give you things. It's not like you're gonna need everything. So don't overpack your hospital bags.
Things, I think, please.
No, but that I think that's extra stress for people when they go in, is they're like, I need a pillow, I need this, this, and this. Like, chill. Whatever you have on you, if you have nothing when you go into the hospital, you will still be fine. And number three is make sure there is food in your fridge and freezer, because honestly, you'll thank yourself when you come home and you're like, I'll just whack a ready meal in the oven and then we're all good to go. Because you need to eat as well to look after yourself. Like, you can't look after a baby if you're not looking after yourself, if you're not hydrated, if you're not fed, you're not going to produce milk in a good way and all that kind of stuff. So prepare yourself. Even if you feel like you've got like, oh, I've got like 6 weeks to my due date, I've got ages. Like, you can't be too prepared. Just shove things in the freezer.
That's an amazing tip, because I did not do that. I tell women to do it all the time, and I was convinced I'd go really overdue. So I kind of thought in that time where I'm waiting, then I would do that, preparing the freezer. So on our way home, we had to stop at the Indian takeaway.
Yeah, but that's fine too. When we got delivery the first night, because I was like, I just want some halloumi. I want some all the things I haven't really been able to enjoy. And then after that, we were like, right, okay, the first few days, then people come around and bringing us food and that kind of stuff. But I think I really, really appreciated how organized I was when I was getting hungry, and then he was getting hungry, but I was like, I haven't got any more milk. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make more.
Bless you. Yeah. But you had that preparation nailed, which is amazing. Amazing. Felicity, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to speak to you. Has he gone to
Thanks
sleep?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, he's asleep.
Oh, of course he is. He is gorgeous. And I can't wait to watch the rest of your journey through motherhood and watching this beautiful little man grow up with all that gorgeous blonde hair. He'll be using your hair wrap, you know it.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you so much, my love. And big congratulations, of course. If you've enjoyed this chat and want to hear more on this topic, head over to midwifepip.com, where you'll find my accompanying blog post with highlights, my thoughts, extra information, and additional resources. And remember, leaving a review on my podcast, if you've enjoyed listening, really does make a huge difference to helping me reach more women with honest, reliable information. So please take a moment to do this, because when women support women, amazing things happen.